It's Love Month, baby.
I can parallel park my Cadillac and stilettos with a baby on each hip, sipping my Starbucks and managing two companies all at the same time. I am an American woman. Need I say more? Pop the glam pain.
Pop the glam pain. It's time for the Julie Tussey Show live guest, current event scathing expose. The original suburban bombshell, the big blonde baby, giving you the fastest, funniest, most informative 30 minutes of your life. And now, here's Julie Tussey.
It's Love Month, baby.
I really felt it was important to ask Julia London to be on the Julie Tussey Show with us today, because many of the women that I know and myself personally have been very influenced by her books. She not only writes romance novels, but she writes fiction. And in the end, the girl always gets her guy. What more could you want for Love Month? The Julie Tussey Show, satisfaction guaranteed.
Sitting here like that. There's gonna be some actual words, and hopefully that'll get you all relaxed, tingly. And then there's gonna be some actual words. I am really excited. Just so you know what you're getting into, I'm going to show you what I've got in store for you. Okay, so here we go. Need to come a little bit closer for that. Wait a second, let me get a little bit closer.
February is Love Month on the Julie Tussey Show. Today on the Julie Tussey Show, I have the privilege of interviewing New York Times bestselling author Julia London. I just love her. We're going to talk about some wonderful things that happened in her books. We're going to talk about love, and we're going to talk about the things that Julia likes to do when she's not writing romance novels. I am so excited to be here with none other than the amazing New York Times bestselling author, Julia London. Hi, Julia.
Woo woo. Hi. Hi. How are you?
I am really excited. I have to tell you that you are one of my favorite authors, and I have been reading your books for a long time, although I never get older, though. You need to know that about me. I never get any older than 29. But I've been reading.
That's remarkable, because I don't ever get older than that either.
See, I knew we would have so much in common.
I just wrote a lot of books in a year.
Right? Me too. I've done so many things. I'm just amazing that way. But I just love your romance novels. I have to confess, I've not ever read anything but the romance novels. I was looking in my Audible, and I have 19 of your books in there.
Oh my goodness. Oh, that's fantastic. Thank you.
Yeah, big fan. So if I act starstruck, you know what's going on over here. But how are you today?
I'm great today. I'm in San Antonio. It's 70 degrees. It's just a beautiful day.
We're in Kentucky, and it's kind of a little less warm than that, but we're just nothing can dim the lack of sunshine because of our great sunshine excitement for having you on today.
Thank you.
So I was looking up some information on you. I was like doing Wikipedia stalking, and I counted 41 books that you have written. Have you written more than that?
Oh, that's a really good question. I've written at least that. I always get a little confused because I've written some that haven't been published yet. So I get a number in my head, and I'm not sure if that's actually available to the public. But I have like three more books coming out this year that probably aren't included on that Wikipedia page. So
okay, good.
I'd say closer to 45. Yeah,
that's amazing. And you don't have a tattoo for everyone? I mean, wouldn't that be the best way to take care of, be able to keep track?
I wish I'd thought of that.
Might be painful now to go and get that done, but now, seriously, though, I wanted to ask you some questions. The listeners of the Julie Tussey Show are also big historical romance buffs and read a lot of novels.
Great.
Yeah, so they're going to be excited about this one. What made you decide to write, and when did you realize that this was going to be your chosen profession?
Oh, well, you know, I had a very successful career before writing. I was a public administrator. And in fact, I worked in the White House many, many years ago. And I don't know if you remember when Clinton was elected and he kind of cleaned out the White House. I was a civil servant, but I got fired nonetheless. And I came back to Texas, where I'm from, and I was a public administrator, but I was young, and I was closer to the constituents than I had been at the White House.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that really wasn't my thing,
mm-hmm.
answering phone calls about what, you know, like people had complaints.
Did you have a dream inside of you that was hindering your work there?
I think I did. I mean, it was, and I thought I was young, and I thought I cannot do this for the rest of my life. So what am I going to do? And I had always been a huge reader, and I'd always had very good writing skills. I had never thought about writing fiction, but I picked up an Iris Johansson book. I think she writes thrillers now, but back then she was writing historical romance. And I didn't even realize it was a romance novel. To me, it was just a book. I had never really put labels on books. I never really thought about them being romance or mystery or thriller. I just read what appealed to me.
Right.
And I loved that book. And I realized after I finished it that it was a romance novel. And so then I went and read a whole bunch more by Julie Garwood and Judith McNaught and everybody who was big at the time. And I thought to myself, I think I could do this. I think I have the ideas. And I think I could do it. So I sat down and tried it. And I wrote one book that was really long and horrible, but from that experience, I learned how they structured a book. You know, I'd write some, then I'd go back and see what others did. And I realized, I started to teach myself about the beginning, the middle, the end, and the pacing. And so I wrote another one. And at this point, I had two older sisters, and I was telling one of them, she said, "For God's sake, you have got to do something. Either like send it off to a publisher or whatever you do, or put it under your bed. But I can't talk about this book thing anymore with you." And it irritated me. So I said, okay, fine. And I went down to the library or to a bookstore, and I got some books about, how to get an agent, how to get published in 10 easy steps, something, mm-hmm. Like that, Dummy's Guide to Publishing. And I followed some of the advice in those books, and I actually did get an agent, and she actually did sell that second book. And I thought it might be one book, but it turned into nearly 45.
That's how. That's amazing. Oh, my gosh. Did it happen in 10? Oh, you did?
About 4 years into it, I said, okay, I think I'm going to make it in the writing world. And so I quit that job.
Wow, that's amazing. Did you make it in 10 easy steps? This is the question inquiring minds want to know.
Well, I have to say I was very, very lucky with that book. It just happened to be the right kind of book for the market at the time, which I didn't realize. I sold it so quickly. And I even said to my sisters, I said, I always thought it was really hard to get published, but I guess it's not. I just did it. But I've had some, ups and downs since then. I was just really, really fortunate. There are a lot of really good writers out there who have tried to break into publishing and haven't been able to. And I think for me, it was just the luck of the draw.
Wow. What was the title of your first book?
The Devil's Love. That's the one.
Yep. I've read that.
That was the first one.
Oh, that's great. Well, we've already talked a little bit about who influenced you to start writing. Are there people that right now influence you?
I just read everything. I just love so many books and, different kinds of books. But two authors, I love all the Jane Austen books. I reread them mm-hmm. through the years. I still reread them. Mark Twain, I can't say that I've sat down and read a book of his from beginning to end, but he is just so funny. And I'm always looking for Mark Twain quotes just to kind of spur me on. Right. And I've read some of his essays, and I just love him.
I do too.
And Yeah. So those are two that I keep coming back to, but there are a lot of authors that have inspired me.
Oh, me too. I'm kind of a secret wish I could write a romance novel kind of person.
You should try it like I did.
Yeah.
You know what? Don't tell your sister.
Well, you know, my nickname, you may not know this, is the Big Blonde Baby.
And oh.
I always say I'm smart enough to be a blonde, but to wrap my head around how to make sure that so-and-so meets so-and-so at the crossroads of such-and-such and they end up here.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. How does that happen? I need to go to school.
Yeah.
The School of Julia London. That's what
the
I need
school
to do.
Of Julia London. I love it.
After 19 books, you'd think I'd have that down. Have you seen some things in your life that inspire you more than others towards your writing?
Well, you know, the truth is that there are people I have met in my life, and some version of them might appear as a character in a book. Not usually the hero or the heroine. Those are purely imagination, but secondary characters. And but it's usually such a, you know, rework them so much that I don't even recognize them anymore. But right. That's the closest I've come. And I haven't had, I mean, I've traveled quite a bit. I traveled for the government, and I travel now, you know, and so I've been to England and Scotland and Ireland several times, and I've seen, you know, a lot of the places that I write about. You know, in fact, this series that starts with Wild Wicked Scott, I spent some time in the Highlands at an estate in Scotland, you know, in like one of those little rent a cottages.
Yeah.
And became friends with the laird, who happens to be a female.
Oh, my goodness.
So that was really cool. Yeah. So, you know, a lot of this series is all the scenery and places I describe. I've changed the names, but they actually exist.
Oh, that is so neat. That's one thing I love about your novels, is that they take you to another place. They take you to, you know, like, I've never been there. I've always wanted to go there. And you'll be so proud of me, Julia, because I actually married a man who is Scotch-Irish. He probably would have been a lord in the 1400s and the 1800s.
I'm sure he would have been. And you would have been a queen.
He's my lord. Yes. No, I think I would have been a duchess.
Yeah, you would have been a duchess, but you would not have been a washerwoman.
No, I would definitely could not be a slave or slave labor. That wouldn't work for me. I'm just too delicate.
Yeah. So,
but I love it. I love that they're in other places and they take you away. You know, sometimes life can be so stressful. And that's what I love about historical romances, is you can just get caught up in them. And you just are looking at someone else's life and you forget about your life. So it's
right. Especially now. I read so many books after the election, you know, just because, you know, regardless of what side you're on, you know, the election was just so bruising. And after it was all over, I was reading so much. And I think that's what it was. I kind of escaped from the news.
To me, you don't need Prozac. You just need to read romance novels.
Yeah, seriously. I agree.
Seriously,
100%.
Like they relieve the stress. But you know what I did find? I did find when you do these long series that I miss the people. I get so involved. Four novels later or five, I'm still hearing about, you know, the person that was in the first one on and off. And you kind of get caught up in their life. And when you're done with the book, you're like, oh, man, I miss them.
Well, that's why, you know, I said, you asked me if this was three or more, and I think it's probably going to be more, because I've built the series around a family instead of, you know, an event or friends. And so the first book is, you know, the parents, and the next book you'll see one of their sons.
Okay.
And, you know, so it goes on. So, I mean, I'm getting really familiar with these people, and I know I even made like a family tree so I could keep up with all the Mackenzies. But yeah, it's kind of cool that way.
How else can you do that? I mean, like, you have to chart it out, I would say, to make sure that there's, you know, you understand who's with who.
That's true. And my publisher liked it so much. I think the family tree will appear in the third book once we've had a couple of marriages.
Wonderful.
You can see. Well, yeah.
What we're talking about today is a new series that Julia has coming out. And we're going to talk about that in depth in just a few minutes.
It's Love Month, baby.
You can find the Big Blonde Baby CD at cdbaby.com/CD. /JulieTussey2.
Health and beauty are synonymous, and when you find a place that can help you accomplish those two things in your life, you have really found a treasure. The skincare experts at Beautiful You Medical Spa are waiting to help enhance your natural beauty. You have got to go and enjoy their relaxing, full-service medical spa and friendly staff. Book your first facial today for only $45 when you tell them that Julie sent you. Beautiful You Medical Spa, because everyone deserves to look and feel more beautiful. I can parallel park my Cadillac and stilettos with a baby on each hip, sipping my Starbucks and managing two companies all at the same time. I am an American woman. Need I say more? Pop the glam pain.
It's love month, baby.
Sitting here like that, and then there's going to be some actual words, and hopefully that'll get you all relaxed, tingly, and then there's going to be some actual words. I am really excited, but just so you know what you're getting into, I'm going to show you what I've got in store for you. Okay, so here we go. Need to come a little bit closer for that. Wait a second, let me get a little bit closer.
The love doctor is in.
So we're back with Julia London, my hero for romance novels. You know, one of the things I love, Julia, is that you make me laugh a lot. I noticed that years ago. I must have been, you know, since I'm only 29, around 14.
Right.
But one of the things is that you do bring some comic relief in it, and I really, really love that. What do you think about when you're getting ready to write a book? I was talking to my husband, and I said, I wonder, does she just sit there eating dinner and all of a sudden she sees this heroine and she gets the whole story, or is it something you have to work at?
Well, I definitely have to work at it, but it almost always starts with the idea of a character. For example, the Wild Wicked Scot, I had been reading about the union of England and Scotland in 1707, the first time they were like formally unified. And I thought it was a very contentious sort of union. I thought, isn't that kind of funny? It's sort of like a marriage, you know?
Right.
And then, you know, what a great idea. And I had this idea of a Scottish laird and an English bride, mm-hmm. and all the issues that would bring up. So, but it started with that idea, and then the characters. And then what I really have to work at is the plot. That takes me quite a while to kind of figure out where they're going to go, you know, what their journey is going to be together. I don't know. You would think it would get easier, but it doesn't. It actually gets a little harder with each book.
Oh, wow. Well, mentioning the Wild Wicked Scot, that is the first of your new series of books that's coming out. And I'm about halfway through, so I'm falling in love with Margot and Aaron.
Oh,
right,
good.
Now.
Yes. Good.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be really good. Have you ever had to deal with writer's block?
I have never had true writer's block. I have had motivational issues several times in my long and storied career. Boy, have I ever. I mean, you know, just like times in my life where things have cropped up and I've had to make myself sit down and put words on a page.
Mm.
But I've never like not come up with an idea. That has never happened to me.
Well, that's wonderful. Do you think that you were like this from the time you were a child? Like, do you remember being having a great imagination in making up characters, or is it just something that as you...
Oh, girl, let me tell you. I grew up on a ranch with only siblings to play with. So I spent a lot of time wandering around making up stories. I was in a wagon. Do you remember the old show Wagon Train?
Mm-hmm.
I think they had reruns on when I was a little girl. But every afternoon after that was over, I'd go out and be in a wagon train, and, you know, just very elaborate plots, and made my brother be the Indian. Yeah, I have always had a really vivid imagination.
Mm. I love that. You may not know this about me, but I'm a recording artist. And as a child, I would get all the neighbor kids. Of course, we lived in the country, so there's like four.
Yeah.
And I would sit them all against the wall of the garage, and they'd have to watch me do a concert, and I always had to be the center of attention. So I can totally relate to Julia London. Oh, and on a side note before, you know, I have to have one rabbit trail per program, but I noticed that your birthday's coming up on March 18th. Congratulations. Oh,
thank you, I guess.
Yeah. Well, you know what? My birthday's on March 17th.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, well, so congratulations to you, too.
Thank you. You have
an
awesome birthday.
We made it another year.
I know. 29 again. Woo! Yeah. So, anyway, back to your new series. So, you said that you started with Wild Wicked Scott, and you have created a family. So, oh, my gosh. Do you know a couple titles of the next coming books?
Yes. There's one. It comes out February 28th. It's Sinful Scottish Laird. And it's the oldest son of Aaron and Margot. And then in, I think it's April 25th, sometime around there, Hard-Hearted Highlander comes out. And it's another son.
You must write quickly. Does it take a long time to write a novel?
I would say from the beginning of the idea until I submit the manuscript is probably about 9 months.
Oh, that's
but I do tend to work on more than one book at a time.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, so they'll kind of overlap. But these books have been, you know, the ones that are coming out, they were written, probably finished in early 2015.
Oh, wow. Wow, yeah. That takes them a while to come then.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Since you're writing more than one at a time, do you ever accidentally write the wrong people into the wrong book?
The wrong names, yes, I've definitely done that. I mean, they keep in character, but then I'll get an edit back and they'll be like, who's Molly? Oh, wrong
book. She was the chambermaid.
Another book entirely.
Do you have to do a lot of historical research about what they wore and what they ate? And like, do you have to watch out for gluten-free products and things like that? They were probably gluten-free because it wasn't genetically changed.
Exactly. They didn't even know how lucky they were.
They had it good. That's why I read it.
And you'll notice that, like, bathrooms never come up in these things.
No. That, water closets,
you know, that works
sometimes.
Really well. Yeah.
Sometimes there's like passionate romantic scenes in those little water closets, right?
In the little water closets, yeah. You just don't think beyond the
no.
The scene. But well, you know, in college, I don't know why. I mean, my degree was in government, but I took a lot of British literature and British history courses. I guess my subconscious was talking to me, so I had a lot of I had a pretty good basis of history. And as through the years, I've just picked up a lot of reference materials, and I write in such a limited time frame. You know, I've written a lot of Regencies, which was basically 1800 to 1821, 22, somewhere around there. And then these. So I know where to go. I mean, I have a lot of references, and I do get their clothes right. I have a lot of, you know, historical clothing books, and I do get their food right. Nobody's getting a pizza, you know?
Yeah, I noticed I've never seen McDonald's in there. They don't have a drive-through or a fast food place. Oh, my gosh. There's just so much. See how I told you? It would just be so much for me to learn. So I'm really enjoying learning some of these things. Now, I have one big question for you. It's the biggest question of the day. And I didn't put it in the notes. So if you don't want to answer it, you don't have to.
All right.
but inquiring minds on the Julie Tussey Show want to know, how do you know not to put too much sex in the book? Like, where do you draw the line? She doesn't want to answer that.
No. I mean, let me ask you a question. Is there too much sex in the book?
No. No, I don't think there is. And I'm thinking, how do you know when enough is enough? Is something you just feel?
I think it's something I just feel. You know, every author's different. Some authors have sex on every other page.
Yeah.
To me, it's always more about the relationship than it is about the sex.
Right.
You know, so I would probably, left to my own devices, have less of it in there, but I always have an editor that wants to make it a little bit more sensual.
Because it sells.
Yeah, because it sells. And I guess I'm getting to that age where I think to myself, do I really need to spell it out? We all know what happens now, but you know,
right.
I do.
Right. Well, I think it's awesome. Your balance in your books is really, really good, because I have read other
you.
Authors and I'm like, whoa, you know,
Oh, thank you very much. And I tell you, there's an art to writing a sex scene that's very difficult, and that, you know, it's a really well done sex scene is more about the emotion of the act than it is about the physical act. And I think some authors maybe don't get that, or they're more into the physical act. I don't know. But it's, to me, it's one of the hardest things to write in the book.
I would think so, too. I think that would be a tough thing to do. And you do it so well, because you really can sense that the characters are madly in love with each other, or whatever the situation is going on. It's about that emotion, and I appreciate that. So, but, you know, we had to bring it up because it's historical romance, and it's a big part, I think, of what's going on.
It really is. Yeah, because it really is, and I appreciate that.
Well, and it's about love, and love leads to that, and I love that they're married a lot.
Yeah. Well, I have to tell you, that's the other thing. When I'm, you know, I wrote so many books set in Regency England, as I was saying, but I told my publisher that I didn't think I could write at this point in my life, or I needed to take a break from writing virginal heroines.
Right.
And I was like, you know, personally, I'm pretty far removed from being a virginal heroine. So, you know, it's hard for me to get those to kind of like drag up those emotions again. And I really wanted, you know, reasons for them to be a little bit more experienced.
Yeah.
And so I came up with, you know, like they've been married before.
Oh, and good.
That's, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm really looking forward to these new books. And are we going to see, like right now in Wild Wicked Scott, I'm reading about Margot and Aaron, and they must be the parents of all the downline that comes. But are we going to see a little bit about them in the next books? Will we hear about them a little bit?
Oh, yeah. The whole family. They're growing and they're appearing in every book.
Oh, I love it. See, because
yeah.
I told you I miss them. And I'm like, what happened to them?
Yeah. And then I start getting, you know, letters from people like, what about, you know, cousin Sally, or what about brother John? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
You know, I wish I could do that with every series. But yeah, this one I intended to build that family.
Oh, wonderful. Can you tease our listeners with perhaps what may be one or two of your favorite characters in this new series?
Boy. Well, I haven't. One of the ones I really like is in Sinful Scottish Laird, you'll meet one of their daughters. Her name is Catriona. I really like her, and I have not written a book about her yet, but I think I will, because her life is after the Battle of Culloden, when, you know, the English kind of subdued all the Scottish rebels, and they took away a lot of the Scottish traditions, and like they were banned from wearing a kilt. And you'll read all this in Sinful Scottish Laird, but you know, a lot of men were killed. And so she doesn't have any prospects at all. And she's really feisty, and you know, she just doesn't, you know, she's just kind of spinning her wheels. And I thought she would be a really fun character. I love Aaron. I just loved him.
Mm-hmm.
I just loved that he was so, you know, strong and capable, and, you know, he was really, like, protective and loyal to his clan, but he was just so clueless about his new wife, you know, he was
totally
so clueless, you know, and I just loved him and how he evolves, and those are a couple. I like them all. I can't choose.
I was going
to
say, they must be like family.
Yeah, they are like family, yeah.
did you say it's Catronia? No.
Catriona?
Is she blonde?
Catriona.
Is she going to be a big blonde baby?
I'd have to. No. Does she need to be a big blonde baby?
Yeah, I think so. If she's feisty, she needs to be a big blonde baby. I'm excited. I'll be watching, of course, you know, with 19 books already, and just not the ones under the bed, just the ones in the phone. I'll be watching what you do. But you're my favorite author, so.
I really appreciate that. That's wonderful. I didn't
Thank
know exactly who you were when you contacted me.
Oh, you'll want to get to know me, Julia. Oh my goodness, I'm being
but
so
I'm really
sassy.
Glad you did. I'm really glad you did. I mean, I don't get a lot of invitations over Instagram, so.
Well, that's kind of my little secret trick to find people who I'm impressed with.
Well, it's a good way to do it. Yeah. Like, oh, look at this.
I know. That was awesome. When I heard back from you, I think, okay, I must confess, I screamed. I was like, yes. And so I'm just so glad to be talking to you today. You are amazing, Julia. You are in.
Oh, thank you. Gosh, you just can't stroke that ego enough, can you?
No, I really, really, truly am enjoying talking to you. You know, sometimes you get the fear it's going to be like, and blah, 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 blah. And they say, yes.
You know, oh, my gosh. And I have met some authors like that. I mean, you know, just through the years that you, their books are so vibrant, and then you meet them and you're like, did you really write that book? They're not so vibrant.
Yes, yes.
they're way introverted, I guess.
I think you match your writing. I think you, it sounds like you have a great personality, and that's probably what I picked up with the humor showing up here and there in your books. So,
thanks.
What's the future hold for you?
Well, I have these two books and a contemporary women's fiction coming out in August. And then I'm working on another McKinsey book right now. That's like the foreseeable future that carries me through. And I'm sure there'll be more books after that.
Oh, that's awesome. Is there anything else that you love to do other than writing? You have any hobbies?
I have like boring hobbies. I like to run with my big dumb dog. And, you know, that kind of stuff. I travel a lot. I have a really good friend. She's married, but her husband doesn't like to travel. So she and I travel a lot together. And that's been a lot of fun. I'm going to take a big bike trip this year from Prague to Vienna.
Wow.
With an organized group. Wow. That I'm really looking forward to.
That's amazing. I would love to travel like that. I was just interviewing a friend that bought a vineyard, and I told her we needed to go to Italy.
So. Oh my gosh, that would be so much fun. But when I think about if I ever retired from writing, what would I want to do? I'd want to be a sommelier, but I have no idea how to do it. I know how to drink wine really well. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if I could actually learn the difference between any of them.
Oh my goodness, I know, right?
But well, that's kind of my dream job now.
Well, I hope you get to do that. I really do. You're having such good success, though. We're proud of you. We're so thankful that you would be on today and be with
you
us.
Bet.
There are so many books, those of you that are listening today to the Julie Tussey Show, that are written by Julia London, and they are all amazing. You will really, really enjoy them. Julia, what's the best, most profitable way for you for people to get your books?
Do you mean like where?
Yeah, or? Like I know I get mine at Audible and Amazon.com, and I noticed you have a website, so I think we should let people know what the best way to get your books is.
Right. Well, you can get them at any retailer or e-tailer. I mean, wherever the people want to buy their books is there, they should be available. I don't sell them off my website, but at my website, I have a printable book list if people are interested, and you can read little synopses about each of the books.
Okay.
And then of course I'm on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, and I'm pretty active on them. So, as you know, people want to hang out with me. That's where I am.
It's amazing. I love it. So it's julialondon.com if they want to go and see your book list, which I love having a book list, because before the internet was really big, I would go and buy the books and it would take a while to figure out the order and what I was missing.
And then,
you know what I mean?
You know, they're grouped in series and they're categorized by historical or contemporary, you know, so there's everything you ever want to know about me is on that website.
Well, we appreciate you definitely coming on today, Julia. This is Julia London with us. And what an amazing interview. We wish you well, and we thank you so much for being with us. And when I get big and famous, we'll have to have you come again.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for inviting me. I am really glad that you got in touch. I've been very happy to do it. I wish you all the success, too.
Thank you. Thank you so much, and we will talk to you soon.
The skincare experts at Beautiful You Medical Spa are waiting to help enhance your natural beauty. Enjoy their relaxing, full-service medical spa and friendly staff. Book your first facial today for only $45 when you tell them Julie sent you. Beautiful You Med Spa, because everyone deserves to look and feel more beautiful. An official sponsor of the Julie Tussie Show. I can parallel park my Cadillac and stilettos with a baby on each hip, sipping my Starbucks and managing two companies all at the same time. I am an American woman. Need I say more? Pop the glampain.
It's love month, baby.
Sitting here like that. There's going to be some actual words, and hopefully that'll get you all relaxed, tingly, and then there's going to be some actual words. I am really excited, but just so you know what you're getting into, I'm going to show you what I've got in store for you. Okay, so here we go. Me had to come a little bit closer for that. Wait a second, let me get a little bit closer.
Wanted to let you know that you can get your Big Blonde Baby CD today and download it on your phone or your computer. You can get it at cdbaby.com/CD/JulieTussie2. Again, cdbaby.com/CD/JulieTussie2. Thank you so much for your support. I want to say thank you so much to all of our listeners today. We so appreciate you. We are here because we want to help you have a better life. We want you to lighten your load because we're going somewhere in 2017. Thank you so much to our supporters for throwing in with us and helping us get out the good news. And we also would like to tell you once again, you only get one life to live. Live it to the fullest.
If life is my oyster, darling, pass the hot sauce.